very fucking unprofessional.
Turn this up.
I seen niggas make poor decisions.
Don't got no time to waste today, y'all.
Man, I seen niggas cross fast.
Busting the sports show out. We got a Patreon along the way. Episode 241, damn near done. What's up?
Man, this shit beyond common sense. Through the music, showed you how.
I'm energized out here now.
You spending too much time with these bitches. Go hard, nigga, get your chick.
Straight to it. This is, without a shadow of a doubt, the talk of the town, what your town is talking about. Unprofessional as fuck with your host, Ruck. This is Sports Show 25. We energized, man, had a little staycation, a little vacation. Bay Area, that is. Shout out to everybody who came out to the city to watch that Bane the Butcher show. Had a good fucking time out there.
Do the same shit and get the same results every time.
It's back to work now, though.
In the morning just to clear my mind. Dealing with a lot of shit, but still managed.
Table's been set.
Man, my heart's so fucking big. So when I found out,
NBA playoffs are down now to the conference finals. The final four teams are now in place.
I'm that nigga that was showing love, nigga that was giving knowledge.
Eastern Conference Finals are now set. So entitled, like you said, Boston Celtics will host 4 to 7 games. Should it go that far? Competing against the Indiana Pacers. Western Conference side of things, I got what I asked for. Dallas Mavericks, Minnesota Timberwolves. That shit should be box office. Well, I'll start off saying rest in peace to the legend, Jim Otto. Let's get to it, though. Had a good-ass time out there in the city. Shout out to everybody who showed up to that Benny show. This is how it went, man. You know what I mean? New York's were nicked up. What the feezy? Sunday's pair of Game 7s began with a 12:30 Pacific tip-off time between the New York Knicks and the Indiana Pacers. It had been 24 years since the Knicks were in position to get to the conference finals. 48 minutes away from heading back at home in front of a raucous crowd, Celebrity Field. Everybody who was anybody was at that bitch. If there were New York representatives, I seen from Fat Joe to former Knicks players along the lines of Clyde Frazier. I seen Latrell Sprewell was in that bitch. John Starks, you know what I mean? The who's who. Of folks were in the building. Of course, Spike Lee was there as always. It was unfortunate, though, man. It was apparent early and often that Indiana was just unbothered by any of that. The best shooting percentage, record-breaking shooting percentage, it started off that way in the first quarter, right? I think they were above 70%, 71, 73, 76 possibly. Don't even quote me. But that didn't tail off. They continued to put on a crazy-ass performance, just doing everything in their power and everything that they needed to do. It did not help that, you know, the Knicks continued with their injury woes. See, going into this game, every home team had won, which led to a 7-game series, right? But this, this being the case, still didn't deter Indiana from coming in and taking care of business. They came in and showed up and showed out. Like I said, the shooting percentage was out of this world. 41 points put up in the first quarter. Very unheard of, man. It's a high-powered offense. And when they're clicking on all cylinders, when Tyrese Halliburton, former king, you know what I mean, is out there being aggressive, there's no telling what could happen. He's opening up opportunities and shots for other people. Not enough is being said about this young cat. I mean, I don't know what his motherfucking age, but TJ McConnell, bro. Good Lord, bro. It's a guy whose game doesn't only take place, you know, at home when everything's going right for him. This guy shows up. He's a dog. He does the dirty work. Undersized, in my opinion, making acrobatic shots, just putting his team in position to win while, you know, other people have to get their rest. Pascal Siakam did his thing. Miles Turner did his thing. You know, it was crazy because you were rooting for the Knicks. I know I was. I know that a lot of people, you know, nostalgic basketball fans just wanted to see New York advance. Of course, the city of New York was along and coinciding with that, but it didn't matter. Indiana came in. They did what they had to do. The Knicks, unfortunately, had little to no shot after, I believe it was the third quarter, where Jalen Brunson was involved in the play, going to commit a foul. Ended up having a fracture in his hand. Was ruled out for the rest of the game.
What the feezy?
That was just it. You can look to the sideline. You can see the coaches' faces. You can see players. Julius Randle amongst them, who's been out for quite some time, wishing that he could be out on the court. A lot of praise has to go to a guy by the name of Josh Hart. Man, Josh Hart, clap it up for him, bro. For a few games in a row, this guy played literally every single minute, was out there just giving his all to the game. Was injured last game prior to this, right? So game 6, he has an abdominal strain. Asked the coach to take him out, which is unheard of. You know, if Josh Hart's asking to come out of the game, he's in excruciating pain. Still, despite all of that, was giving it a go in game 7, had tape on those abs. Was there earlier than anybody before the lights were fully set up. Doing what he had to do, putting up shots, seeing if he can give it a go. OG Anunoby, another player who had a hamstring issue. He hadn't played for quite some time, but in Game 7, I mean, everybody was going to give it a go. He came out, hit some big shots early. The issue was he wasn't able to get up and down the court. It was a clear mismatch, you know, if anybody wanted to exploit that on the offensive side of the ball when he was trying to be a defender. He just had nothing for him. It's unfortunate. This core group of players that you have, people calling them the Nova Knicks. You talk about DiVincenzo, Jalen Brunson, and Josh Hart all playing with each other formerly at Villanova. You know, had the city had a love affair with these guys, man. It wasn't just because they were the Knicks. It wasn't just because they were playing well and advancing into the playoffs. It was because of this core group, how they played, how they won, and even in defeat, how they lost. It's a lot to be said about players not just sulking and talking shit after the fact. They gave it up to Indiana, who came in and took care of business. A lot of times people want to just, you know, get up and out of the limelight. Wasn't the case with stars like Jalen Brunson and Josh Hart, who despite losing the series, made sure to get out of their vehicles upon leaving Madison Square Garden and mingle with the fans. Show love to those who were giving them a round of applause and a standing ovation as they checked out of the game, even in defeat. Classy from New York. Got to just give it up, man. Indiana did what they had to do. They won the game. They advanced. And despite who was going to win this series, you have to worry about these Boston Celtics with a chip on their shoulder and plenty of rest. Healthy, for the most part. Of course, they don't got a Porzingis as of now. I don't know if he's going to rush back. I don't even know if he's needed to come back this early, right? Maybe in the finals. Maybe right now he can still relax. But with that being said, Tuesday, 5:30. Game 1, Eastern Conference Finals. The Boston Celtics are now going to be hosting the Indiana Pacers, two of the most high-powered, high-scoring offenses in the league. What does that mean? I mean, where do you have it? I think this is, if not a sweep, a gentleman's sweep at the very least. I do not want to act like I'm, you know, disrespecting Tyrese Halliburton, Siakam, all the guys I just mentioned. The problem is you're going up against this high-powered Celtics squad with experience. Playoff experience of losing in the big one. You know what I mean? It's insane. Despite how this ends up shaking out, Tatum and Halliburton are two players without rings thus far, right? They have an opportunity now to advance over to the finals if they get that far. It's going to be interesting to see, right? I got, like I said, the Celtics winning 5 at the very most. I think it might just be a sweep. Not to say that that's set in stone. It's just how I'm looking at it right now. These guys just got done with a hell of a series against the Knicks. Battle-tested. Exerted a lot of injuries. A lot of energy. And aren't absolved of injuries themselves, right? I mean, every time, you know, a play was broken up or somebody went to the ground, players were all getting up, hobbled, limping, looking hurt, grimacing. It's not going to be easy. an easy ask or an easy order to go fulfill when you talk about going and competing with Boston and beating them, especially now when you have to beat them 4 out of 7 times. And should it go to 7, they're hosting 4 of those games. Well, that's looking ahead, right? I mean, it's unfortunate. Everybody's going to ask, you know, what if the Knicks were healthy? What if they had a Julius Randle? What if, you know, Josh Hart doesn't have the strain and Anunoby doesn't have the hamstring issue? Of course, Jalen Brunson, probably the biggest blow, being that you were counting on him and he was there. And then, you know, after fracturing hand, that was it. It was a wrap. Are they going to be able to bring all these guys back? Are people going to stay around? Is Thibodeau still going to be the head coach? Are they going to move on in that area? What's the future hold? Who knows? But we do know that come Tuesday, the future for the viewing fans and the NBA fans alike, Indiana Pacers traveling over into Boston to take on the Celtics. Should be an interesting game one. Get a real quick view of how things are going to go before you start doing your crazy little prize picks and betting and shit, right? Got to kind of see what these matchups have in store for us. It'll be interesting to see. Now, before I fully move on from this Knicks Pacers series, I just want to go back because I'd be remiss if I did not mention the effort and the performances that were handed out by Alec Burks. So those of y'all who feel like that name might be familiar, that guy did a stint with the Golden State Warriors in which, you know, it was a down season for the Dubs, obviously, but that guy was one of the saving graces as far as somebody you could count on to come in and perform, hit some three-pointers, do some dirty work. He came inside to that game and provided a spark off of that bench that was much needed and probably not expected, to be 100% honest with you, from the majority of people. But, hey, man, Alec Burks did his thing. Dante DiVincenzo, his last game 7 with everything falling out around him, looking like he injured his back early in the first quarter, still went on and put on a performance of all performances. I believe he hit 7 three-pointers. Let me double-check this, man. I don't want to discredit what the guy did. He probably did more. But just interesting to note, man, like that spirit, that fight was not going to be, you know, handed over to Indiana. They were definitely going to have to come out and earn that, which they did. Again, kudos to them and everything that they did. But you would just be, you know, out of your damn mind if you didn't mention some of these performances from these guys who unfortunately are, you know, their season's done as of now. But the future is bright in New York. I'll say that. So I'll look over at these guys' performances. DiVincenzo, 41 minutes in the game, 9 of 15 from the three-point line. Clap it up for that motherfucker, man. Ended the game with 39 points for a Knick team that desperately needed it. Still in the blowout, 130-109 victory for the Pacers. But come on, man, 39 from DiVincenzo with the world falling out around him. Big, really big. Not to be overshadowed, Alec Burks, I just told you about him. That guy ended the game with 26. 26 points in 27 minutes. Can that fucking be talked about a little bit more? This guy has definitely earned himself a position in New York, and a big payday. The bag is coming your way. They're going to call him Birkins. All right, Alec Birkins, because that bag is on its way. Shout out to these guys, man. We shall see what happens with this Eastern Conference matchup as it is. It's going to be interesting to see. That being said, NBA's slate of Game 7 games on Sunday was not done. It had just begun. 5 o'clock tip-off. Defending champion Denver Nuggets hosted the Minnesota Timberwolves, a young team that had been doing their thing, battling in that 1, 2, and 3 position all year long in the Western Conference. Tough to do. Ant-Man leading the way for most of these playoffs. Karl-Anthony Towns and Rudy Gobert as a supporting cast along with Mike Conley. We talk about Denver Nuggets all day long. Jamal Murray definitely showed up to play. My guy had tallied, I believe, 17 to maybe 20 points in the first quarter. 21, I believe. I don't know. He went crazy. A lot to be said here. I'm coming straight off the heels of the last episode where I was talking about Ant-Man possibly facing the league. Best thing that could have possibly happened to the NBA since LeBron. I can't completely go against what I said in just the very next episode. But what I will say is it was a little bit suspect, his performance. Even in the winning effort, guess I'm jumping the gun. But Minnesota Timberwolves found a way to win this game. And it's great. That means that nobody's really going to harp on this too much. But Game 7, Ant-Man looked a little bit different than the first, you know, the previous games, 1 through 6. Not that every game was his game. But this game, I seen this guy, you know, kind of look like he was afraid of the big lights. Crazy to say. I just got done saying quite the opposite prior. But a lot of driving in, being, you know, in position with an open look and kicking it to somebody else, compounding problems, making something that should be easy a little too difficult, in my opinion. When you're in the lane and you have an opportunity to put it on the glass, but instead you make a difficult pass to a Rudy Gobert thinking he could do better than you can, I don't know. That's a defensive player of the year. That's not the offensive juggernaut that you are. And it just left me scratching my head at times. Lucky for them, they were able to avoid that being an issue or something that was discussed with their season being over. As instead, you know, they were able to knock off the defending champions, the Denver Nuggets, at their home, send them packing, and move forward. This game was a lot closer than this Indiana and New York game. First quarter, 24-19 in favor of the Nuggets. Second quarter, a lot of the same. Again, Minnesota scores 19 points, while Denver tallies 29. Now, that was a big first half for Denver. It was going to be interesting to see how this young Minnesota Timberwolves team was going to be able to retaliate, what kind of adjustments were going to be made, how they were going to look at what happened in the first half and flip the script. Coming out into the third quarter, they were able to do that. Limit the Denver Nuggets to 14 points while putting up 28 of their own. And then again in that fourth quarter, went on a huge run to end the game with 32 points in the fourth to Denver's 23. All in all, final score 98-90 in favor of the Minnesota Timberwolves, getting a win. I want to say that Carl Anthony Towns, I owe you an apology. I've been suspect of your game for quite some time. You showed up. Played great defense on Jokic when he had to this entire game, despite what, you know, when Nikola was able to put up on the box score, it was not coming easy. You look at that game 6 where this guy was able to do just about anything he wanted to do on the court. In game 7 at home, that was not the case. A lot of that credit goes to Karl Anthony Towns. When he sat down with 5 fouls, as much as I've been critical of Naz Reid, because I feel like he took my guy Malik Monk's Sixth Man of the Year award in this game, he made a deserving case for why I should be a little bit more quiet about it. Not only did he come in and play huge defense when it mattered down the stretch against Joker, key blocks, making everything difficult, also made a, you know, statement on the offensive side of the ball, being in position to go put a putback, hit big shots, go inside, you know, momentum-killing baskets, aggressive baskets that got his team hyped, that got the players on the bench up and rooting, got the players on the court a little more, you know, comfortable with what was going on. Everybody looked like they had a good grasp on the game. I do want to see more from Anthony Edwards. When you talk about 43-plus minutes, damn near 44, and he has a game with 16 points, 8 rebounds, and 7 assists. 6-24 from shooting 25%. 25% field goal percentage. In game 7, that's not going to get it done going forward against a team like the Dallas Mavericks. It's going to be a lot more asked of that guy going forward. Jaden McDaniels was a guy whose prize picks over and under was at 9.5 points. Put that in perspective. In 39 minutes, he adds 23 points to his team's total. 6 rebounds, 1 assist, 2 steals, 1 block. Like I said, Karl Anthony Towns, 39 minutes, 23 points, 12 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals, 1 block. Rudy Gobert, say what you say about him. He tallied up 9 rebounds, 2 blocks, a steal, 13 points. Mike Conley, you know he's going to do his dirt. 10-8-4 in 38 minutes. You know, their rotation ain't too deep right now. They got 3 people who came off the bench in this game. One only playing 4 minutes. A lot of people were DMPs due to coach's decision. A lot of names there that I ain't really even that familiar with. It's going to be tough to see these guys go up against a deep Minnesota team who's able to put a lot of different faces out there, a lot of fresh bodies. That could be the deciding factor here. We shall see. I do want to talk about the performance on the Denver Nuggets side of things in Game 7. I just got done telling you that Jokic was limited, but when you say limited and look at these numbers, it's hard to kind of, you know, justify that statement. But when you watch the game and when you watch how difficult certain things were, he had to work for every bit of this. even more impressive, man. 34 points, 19 rebounds, and 7 assists. I'm up here talking shit like this guy got 3 MVPs. You know, really, is this guy the one you want to be the face of the league? With numbers like that and the loss is fucking insane. Michael Porter Jr., he didn't really show up. 7 points only, 9 rebounds, yes, but he had like 5 of those in the first quarter, so I don't know what happened after that. Aaron Gordon, man, indictment on this guy. 42 minutes, 4 points, 4 rebounds, and 2 assists. Something tells me you could have done more. Caldwell Pope, 5 points. 6 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 steals, 1 block. Kudos to Jamal Murray, man. He came out and did his 1-2 thing as well. 35 points, 3 rebounds, 3 assists. Did his damnness, you know, tried hard to get this W. They definitely wanted to advance and keep this championship thing rolling. But that just goes to show how much credit needs to be given to Minnesota and what they were able to do. Now, looking ahead, Minnesota versus the Mavericks. Like I said, I think the Mavericks bench might be a little too deep. On top of that, you talk about one of the best scoring duos in playoff history when you talk about Luka and Kyrie Irving. Crazy stat that I've seen about these guys that I don't know if even the defensive player of the year on that side of the ball is going to be able to stop. You're never really going to be able to stop these guys. Your best hope is to be able to slow them down, but slowing down a duo like that could still prove to be deadly. The reason why I say this, the first round of the playoffs against the Los Angeles Clippers, Luka and Kyrie combined for 338 points in the first round. What the feezy? That's the most by an NBA duo in the first playoff series together in history. They didn't really tell off too much when it came down to the second round. Now we're here. They knocked off the Clippers, who were maybe one of the best teams on paper. Then the first seed, Oklahoma City Thunder. Now, going to take on the Minnesota Timberwolves with the Defensive Player of the Year. Karl-Anthony Towns is playing great right now. And Ant-Man, who, despite his Game 7 performance, you still got to understand that's him. Now, is the lights going to be too bright when you're standing up against a guy like Kyrie? The best handles in the game. A guy like Luka Magic, who's just sneakily. You know, I mean, you look at this guy, you wouldn't think that he's able to be capable of everything that he's capable of, but he goes out there and does some incredible shit. Luka Magic is for real. Oh, how the Kings didn't draft him is beyond me. It is what it is, man. There's some great basketball still yet to be playing. That series tips off 5:30 on Wednesday. Definitely going to be tuned in for that. Can't wait. Rolly, what up, man? I know you're watching these Mavericks games just like I am. Told everybody from the jump, and it's in my NBA playoff bracket. I have the Mavs and the Celtics in the finals with the Mavs finding a way to get a dub. Sorry, Boston. This might sound blasphemous, but that's where I'm at with it right now. Despite how you feel, where you're at with it, who you're rooting for, if your team's in it, or if your team's finished, this fucking playoffs is geared up to be one of the best, and I can't wait to see it. Before we get off of basketball, Brandon Ingram, star of the Pelicans, the trade is what the people are in the media are saying, inevitable. Crazy to me. What the feezy? Zion, that's what you're willing to, you know, put all your eggs in that basket. I've seen this guy get injured and not be available when y'all needed him. And the flip side of that is Mr. Dependable Brandon Ingram was able to come in, murder the Kings on multiple occasions, not only through the regular season, but also in that play-in tournament game. The last, ditch effort for us to get into the playoffs. Granted, we were going to have to go up against OKC, but Brandon Ingram did everything in his power to make sure that wasn't the case. If y'all are trading this man, let us know what you need. Hey, man, go from the King's Killer to the King's Thriller, man. Come on over to Sacramento. Whatever it is you got, on your ride or whatever it is that you need, you know what I mean? Let us know. We're going to make it happen. B.I. to the capital of C.A., man. Let's make that shit happen. Speaking of the Bay Area in basketball, WNBA team has been announced. San Francisco, Golden State Valkyries is what they're going to be called. What the feezy? Hey, I don't know nothing. You know what I mean? It is what it is. Purple and black colorways, that's a little crazy, right? The fuck? But it is what it is, man. WA officially adds the Valkyries to the league that seems to be peaking in popularity right now. The addition of this recent draft class that just became, stars of the WNBA. All the big eyes and ears, celebrities showing up to sit courtside at these games. It'll be dope to see San Francisco, what they're able to do. A lot of support coming from the Golden State Warriors. The Bay Area as a whole, Kalani, E-40. amongst some of the names that went out and did a, pretty much like a block party to introduce, announce, and welcome the Valkyries organization to the San Francisco area. I mean, we'll see what happens, man. Sacramento get another team. Used to have the Monarchs who were able to get championship gold in the WNBA. For some reason, no longer around. Bring that back. Let's give them some competition. I don't know what's going on in the world of FS1. These guys seem to be trying to throw shit at the wall to see what sticks. What's not going to stick is Paul Pierce on this show. And the reason why I say that, I might be a little bit late to the party, but come on, Paul.
Three games. Look at it. Look at this. Look at this, Nicky Key. DiVincenzo was averaging 29 points per game, 50% from the field. First three games. Look at it. Look at this. Look at this, Nicky Key.
What the feezy?
Brad, you know, did what he did and continued to go. And then I think he might have just caught wind of it a little bit later into the joint. That's what defense. I don't know, bro. I don't even think that this is something to where that would be the reason why he's fired. I think they're just really trying to find some way to generate ratings over there. I saw Lil Wayne on a recent clip. He was sitting down talking about Mike Tyson and Jake Paul. Skip, it's fucked up, bro. You know what I mean? You had the game in the headlock. But you just seem to be too big of a diva, man. All this shit that you were talking about, Team Obliterator, right? All these names that you gave to people, right? T.O. being one of them, like I just said. You call LeBron whatever you call LeBron. You call Chris Bosh whatever you call Chris Bosh. Now people are just telling you, Skip, say less, not bay less. Shut the fuck up. Paul Pierce ain't going to get it done over there. That guy's, you know, kind of poison for a microphone. Keyshawn Johnson, I'm sorry, nothing personal against you, but it's not cutting it. Lil Wayne over there in his goofy-ass office, much love to Wayne, but come on, bro. We really don't care what you think about Jake Paul and Mike Tyson. We really don't care what Jake Paul think about Mike Tyson. We really don't care that Mike Tyson finna fight Jake Paul. But the fact that all of y'all knuckleheads are up there trying to make motherfuckers garner attention over the FS1, that's like trying to make me watch F1. That shit ain't gonna happen. Fuck everyone involved in that channel. That organization, that network, those shows. I don't know where fucking Tom Brady finna go, but if that's where he's going, then fuck y'all as an organization, label, and as a rap group, too. If you want to be down with that FS1, you know what I'm talking about. Let's keep it pushing, though. Speaking of Tom Brady, I guess I will find out where this guy's going to be broadcasting there, right? Just popped up on my screen right now. Let's see what's going on here. Tom Brady will make his broadcasting debut when the Browns host the Cowboys.
What the feezy?
Who the fuck wants to hear him talk about the Browns and the Cowboys? This will be a season opener for both of these teams. Whatever. I would love to see this guy in the Patriots-Bucks matchup talk some shit on both sides of them things, but it is what it is. Guess you're going to ease him into the joint. I don't really see anything good coming from this. More Tom Brady talking. The roast was the roast. You know, it is what it is. Briefly talked about it in the past, but I guess this guy said that he regrets doing it now for what it did to his ex-wife, his kids. All right, bro. You can't tell us that you worried about what that did to your kids and your ex-wife when the Tampa Bay Bucks said they had a job and your wife told you it's football or us and your ass went to Tampa Bay.
What the feezy?
Hey, man, your decision, your move to make, but now to be like, yo, I shouldn't have done the roast. That's where you think you went wrong? Motherfuckers is crazy out here. NFL schedules were announced, I believe, last week. Let's talk about the international schedule for 2024. Sao Paulo, Brazil, will be the host of a Packers and Eagles game. Eagles, the alleged home team in this game. Corinthians Arena, September 6th, 8:15 p.m. Eastern on Peacock Channel. Now, London, England is going to host three games this year. October 6th, 9:30 a.m. Eastern, NFL Network. The Jets against the apparent home team in the Vikings. Then you got the Bears, who are the home team when they face the Jaguars, who seem to spend a lot of time in London. Might as well just move there. That's October 13th, 9:30 a.m. And again, the Jags and their home away from home will actually be the home team on the October 20th matchup against these New England Patriots. That game at Wembley Stadium should be crazy. And not to be outdone, Munich, Germany will host a Panthers home game, with their competition being the New York Giants. That's November 10th, 9:30 a.m., NFL Network. I don't know, man. I would not want to fly across the fucking country. And I definitely wouldn't want my team flying across the different countries to play a home game. But my team ain't affected, so the fuck it. You know what I mean? It is what it is. I feel bad for the people in Germany. You're going to have to see Bryce Young, weak ass, go play a game. Especially against the New York Giants minus Saquon. Danny Dimes told you what it is. I motherfucker got Danny Quarters. I was big than a bitch trying to look through the fucking screen. That pitch is floating around if you don't know what I'm talking about. NFL, man, they're finding a way to not only expand in you know, settings where they go play the games, trying to get that international love, but every different streaming service is going to have some type of game this year. It's really fucking disrespectful to the fans, if you ask me, who continue to support. You talk about NFL Sunday Network. You talk about NFL Red Zone. You know, all the way across the line. For you to now put these all these games on different streaming sites, some of them exclusive to Amazon. Now Netflix got their hat in the race. Everyone and everywhere, right? It'll be interesting to see how people react to this. Are people really going to follow this league all over the place? I'm sure many will. Me, I'm going to get my stream on. Whether legally or illegally. Shout Lupe Fiasco. First game of the season will be on NBC. 5:20 p.m. kickoff. Kansas City Chiefs will host the Baltimore Ravens. That should be a good game. Definitely going to tune into that. Hopefully KC starts off this season with a loss. Defending champions. That's some bullshit, right? Fuck them motherfuckers. Travis Kelce talking about he's going to retire now. His dad signed for 2 years. Way more money. Whatever. Looked like shit last year. Fuck him. First week of the season, we'll also have a Friday night game on Peacock, Green Bay versus Philadelphia Eagles. Let's talk about why we really here. Well, at least me. You know what I mean? Las Vegas Raiders. Let's talk about their schedule right now, what they got going on. As far as strength of schedules are concerned, I guess this is supposed to be one of the more difficult. Not interested in what's going on in the preseason. Really don't care, although there is a 49ers matchup. That game will be in Allegiant in Vegas. They will not allow that shit to happen in this city for obvious reasons. Whatever. Week one. Raiders at Chargers. This is going to be a 1:05 p.m. game. That's a home game for the Raiders, for those of y'all who really know. Week two, we got the Ravens in Baltimore. Those guys are going to just get done playing KC. Have us in week two at home. Should be a tough game there. Week three, Panthers. At home. Home opener with the motherfucking Panthers in town. That should be a no-brainer, no effort needed to win game. If we lose that fucking game, you're going to lose my viewership. It's going to be red zone and fantasy football, you know, only. That's how I'm going to be feeling about it. Browns, week four, we also host, again, at home. Browns, not no, they ain't no punks. Can't remember who they got over there at quarterback now. I do know that they did not re-sign the old man Flacco. He's on his way somewhere else. I think he went, shit, don't quote me, somewhere. I don't remember where the fuck he went. Actually, I'm not even going to try to pretend. Week five, we're at Denver to go play the Broncos. That's another, you know, they ain't beat us since Pac died. We're going to go over there, do what we got to do, handle business. That's 10-6 at 1:05 p.m. Steelers. For some reason, this week six game with the Vegas Raiders hosting the Steelers is the highest ticketed game thus far. $601 is where the price is at right now for a seat inside this game. That's crazy to me. I don't know why that's the case, but hey, it is what it is. Steelers coming into Vegas. We got to get a better opportunity here. We got to do better to try to maintain a home crowd. That's not even the thing in Vegas. I don't know why. I do know why, but we don't got enough time to talk about it. Let's keep it pushing. Another home game that's away. We're playing the Rams. L.A., you know who owns that city. Sunday, 10-20. That's October 20th at 1:05 p.m. The Rams will host, quote-unquote, host the Raiders who come into their home away from home. Not going to be easy over there, man. They got a lot of shit going for them. Definitely going to have a chip on the shoulder based on how the season ended last year. Then, of course, that first matchup with the highly, highly hated Kansas City Chiefs. This one's at home, 10-27. October 27th, 1:25 kickoff, week 8. Raiders hosting the Chiefs. Bengals will host us in week 9, Sunday at 10 a.m., November 3rd. A lot of movement around there, Joe Burrow. Hopefully going to be healthy. You know, for the Bengals, if you ask me, he could get hurt in week 8. I wouldn't be mad. Week 10 is when the Raiders will have their bye, right? Smack dab, damn near in the middle. It is what it is. I ain't mad at it. Chance to get healthy, chance to gear up for when we have to go to Miami the following week. Week 11, November 17th, at the Dolphins, who keep adding key pieces. OBJ now over there with Tyreek Hill. Tua Tagovailoa. So many other fucking pieces I can't even remember off the top of my head right now. The roster just keeps getting better and better. It's going to be a difficult game, but I think we could go out and do whatever we have to do under this new tutelage of Antonio Pierce. He's going to be the head coach for his first full season. No interim tag attached. Looking forward to see what he's able to do. Week 12, again, the Broncos. This time at home, y'all know how that goes. That's November 24th at 105. Week 13, back at it. We got to go to Arrowhead, play the Chiefs, 12 p.m. Pacific time. It's a weird start time, but it's a Friday night game. Excuse me, Friday, Black Friday game, 11:29. All right, you know what I mean? A little leftovers. See what's left over of the Chiefs after we whoop them the first time, hopefully.
What the fuck?
Unprofessional?
Yeah, very unprofessional. Week 14 at the Buccaneers. This is going to be December 8th, 10 a.m. I don't know what they got going on over there. The defense, they kind of gave up a few pieces last year. And we'll see what's left for the Bucs. And hopefully we go over there and do what we got to do. Falcons, week 15. Monday night game, 12-16, 5:30 p.m. This is going to be in Vegas. Monday night in Vegas. Those are always great games. We need to take care of business late in the year where every win is going to matter. Week 16, the Jaguars. They are flying all over the fucking world. Should be able to get a win. These guys should be tired. Trevor Lawrence, he ain't really that. You know what I mean? Figure it out. Interesting to see who's going to be playing QB for us. Still up in the air. Antonio Pierce says that Aiden O'Connell has done enough to get those first team snaps. Now, will it be his job to lose? You're giving him enough rope to see what he does with it? We shall see. What we do know is in week 17, we go up against the former long-standing quarterback of the Raiders when Derek Carr and the New Orleans Saints host us. Week 17, Sunday, 12:29, 10 a.m. Eastern. Excuse me, 10 a.m. Pacific. That would definitely be a game to watch, right? There's going to be a whole lot of storylines based around that. Hopefully we break Carr's leg and make him cry again. Week 18, Chargers. The date and time for that is to be determined. Still a lot of scheduling to be done. A lot of shit to get worked out, but the NFL season is upon us. OTAs opened up today for the Raiders. Those guys moved their practice and facilities and everything, you know, their off-season things back over to California. They're down south right now, getting in their work, staying away from the desert for the time being. Definitely going to get back to Vegas and do what they got to do. It's going to be interesting to see. Two home games to open the season, then hosting Carolina and Vegas. Make it happen, Raiders. You know what I mean? Start off that home stretch well. If we could buy into Pierce, what he's got going on, avoid key, you know, major injuries, avoid games filled with penalties, stop beating ourselves. Be interested in see what 2024 has in store for the Raiders, the organization. The fan base is dying for some success. Now, I'm going to keep these sports episodes short and sweet going forward because I'm going to be more active. Try to get a post-game, you know, show in after every one of these conference finals games. It's going to be busy, but as long as we get straight to it, won't be no notes needed. That being said, coming off the heels of this betting show, I want to get back to where I first discovered the guy, man, off this old-ass mixtape. This one's featuring Conway, Dirty Needles.
Tell me your song. Benny and Conway.
Unprofessional as fuck podcast.
Shit, I remember all that. The bridge, nigga. Dirty Needles. He's Dirty Needles. Bagging up white in the middle of the room. Heavy sitting in Omara in the middle of June. Where I'm from, niggas is fool lest they pick up a tool. I even got it on me when I pick my kids up from school. Shit. Street nigga, so I lit a rule. Facts. I was skipping school, trying to get a plug on a brick of food. Facts. I get them shipped to your living room. Won't call, I bet they touch down and then why? Just like Victor Cruz. Got the beef new, but the pistol used. Dipping through, sticking through the window so long, they think it's a broom. It's my town, don't get shit confused. What? You got it misconstrued, none of us rap tight. We got missing screws. Loco. Middle finger to the pigs in blue. Fuck y'all. I had my young nigga aiming a cig right at your wig and shoot. Bow, bow, bow. The street shit too unpredictable. That's why I got my pistol through. Wear it to work like it's a business suit. Fuck you niggas chasing if it ain't a bag. Waving mags, 20 niggas with me wearing Haitian flags. My homie told me turn the pot down before I break the glass. Damn. I'm weighing powder, smoking sour from Jamaica Ave. I watched the whole brick take a bath. Word. I seen a dope boy make biz money and still take a cab. Damn. Dope money buried like a Jimmy Hoffa. Walking out of Benihana's, coke on my Balenciagas. A OG will blow your shit off for $50.
half a brick of raw white as Cindy Lauper. I'm in a trap eating fish and lobster. I like the clip, sip the vodka. Black Sopranos, we considered mobsters. Your dope shoulders, Andy Miller knockers. She a whore rap, as soon as I fuck her, she a trending topic. I let you beam if it's any problem. They expect that from you when you coach the team like you're Jimmy Johnson. Like the feds really watching. In New York City shopping, that's what they think, nigga. We really copping. Look, I know what you really copping. You rapping shit, unwrapping a brick. Look like I'm Millie rocking. It take 100 bands to Philly's Robins. And I can rap, trap, stick niggas up. It's way too many options. You hating niggas, way too busy watching. That's why it's on me, army jacket to send me. In any pocket. Before you learn to win, you gotta handle the feet. Y'all scared, we prepared if guns jam up and beef.
We ready.
We got extra straps, extra clips laying on the seat. My plate full, but that's cool, cause the plan was to eat. Let's go.
Hey, yo, you know straight to it, man. Episode 25 in the books. Till next time, if I want to make you happy and return the favor, I'ma holler at y'all later.
Get you hit with the pump.
Machine, talk to him.
Street sweep will leave bitch nigga slump. Got the 30s in my lap, got the sticks in the trunk. I don't think an issue is really what you bitch niggas want. Got the shooters out lurking on a mission to hunt. 5 in the morning and your bushes had to sniff in the bump. To stay on his toes. Coming for the bricks that you pump, or he gon' leave your face twisted from him blinking his gun. I mean, look, I hate rappers, I swear I do. Cause 90% of these niggas sound terrible. Might send shooters to your show just to air at you. The pain from a shell in the stomach is unbearable. Might come to your funeral, we'll shoot your Paul Garris too. Cause fuck you and them 6 niggas that cared you. Yeah, got the rifle with the scope. I'm the nicest with the flow till I go. I'm comfortable, boy, I'm back at home. Two-tone Mac, black and chrome. Leg shot, shit cracking bone. Facts is known, pussy nigga, I don't ask for loans. They wanna build my statue in Rome, and that's for rap alone. Don't get it confused, bitch. I will put you on the news quick and use your news clip for a new skit on my new shit. SK Long is a pool stick. Griselda, bitch, that's how we do shit.
Yeah. Man. All I can do is laugh, man.
Professional as fuck podcast.
You know what I mean? I ain't looking at you niggas. I'm looking past you niggas.
Y'all finished or y'all done? I ain't got no more talking.